Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. South Beach and Miami Beach overall is internationally renowned as a hot spot for visitors, and with all that attention comes heavy traffic and sometimes the hassle of all those people crammed into this small space. Art Basel is almost here, and that's one of those events that can make life on Miami Beach a little more, you know, difficult. The city is not only preparing for all of these art aficionados, but it's also getting ready for other big events and holidays. And, of course, one of those big ones is not that far away, spring break. Joining us now is Miami Beach Police Chief Daniel Oates, and we would like to hear from you if you're a Miami Beach resident. How do you handle these crowds? Do you get away maybe for a couple of days? Or, you know, what do you think about spring break and how the city should handle, you know, that kind of crowd? Give us a call, 800-743-9576. Again, it's 800-743-9576. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Chief Oates, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Louis. Good to be here.
First, let's talk about just this. Tell me about the challenges that you face trying to police a city like Miami Beach. This is a place with international appeal, and it's not just spring break or Art Basel. This is a place, and look, this time of year, there are places that are frozen right now. Everybody wants to come here.
Yes, and we're only 7 square miles. The design of our city, we just have a couple of arteries north and south, and we can get clogged up pretty easily on any given day from a traffic accident in a particular place, let alone, you know, the thousands and thousands of people who come for major events. And Basel, of course, is one of our very biggest events. It's a great event. It's a great time to be in the city, but getting around can be a challenge.
What do the residents expect? What do you tend to hear from them when a big event like this comes? What do they tend to say to you?
I think that they generally expect that there will be traffic and they have to make adjustments in their lives around it. Basel's a little easier than some of the other events. Just sort of the nature of the crowd that comes. It's a little older. There's less partying in the streets than there are for other events. But generally, there's an acceptance, I think, by the residents that this is part of the price of Miami Beach, to live in Miami Beach. It's also Basel is a significant economic engine that drives who we are, our brand, and everything else. I mean, it is a great event. And it's not just, of course, the main show in the convention center. It's the satellite shows, Design Miami, Scope, Untitled, some of the bigger ones, and also the sort of cultural events throughout the city, and also some of them on the mainland here. So it's a full blown art culture weekend, and we're very proud of it.
You know, when you have events like that, and we'll get to spring break here in just a moment. But I mean, do you have to find extra help from outside to come and help you?
For Basel, a little bit. For some of the other events, especially Memorial Day weekend, a lot. There's a lot of sort of layered security for major events like Basel, some of which we don't talk about, but we have friends in the federal government who help us because it is such a prominent, high-profile event with some very high-profile VIP-type folks who attend. So there's an extraordinary level of security, a portion of which we don't talk about.
And I'd imagine, and I understand if you can't, because, look, you have, as you said, Art Basel is a certain type of visitor that's coming, you know, spending a lot of money
right, to
buy art. But you also have this very expensive art that has to be protected. Is that on you and your force, or is that extra security?
The answer is that Basel has a very robust plan for private security. It is supplemented by law enforcement. And we're there and we're everywhere as part of the plan. Art Basel itself expends an extraordinary amount on private security.
For Art Basel, do you have a special road closures, or are you trying to divert traffic in any way? What can people expect?
That anywhere in and around the convention center and, you know, in the center of downtown Miami Beach, there'll be challenges getting to and from. And we do a lot of messaging to Uber, Lyft, and cab services about how to travel. There are special arrangements for some of the guests at Basel for travel and access and valet and those kinds of things. There are also buses. There are tours and buses that show up, all of which has to be choreographed in the planning. There's months and months of planning for Basel. And we've worked, obviously, this is year 16 or something. I don't even know what it is. But the city works hand in hand with the Basel team to do the best we can with all of this.
And to mention, because you talked about, you know, Uber, Lyft, ride sharing, the buses and everything else, all that information, by the way, gets updated really almost as, you know, just before it, you know, the event happens. So people can, if they have to, look it up to find out, you know, what's the best way to get around. Again, talking with Miami Police Chief Daniel Oates, and we're talking about, you know, preparing for these big events like Art Basel. But you know, let's talk about spring break, because that was also a big one. And there's something interesting the city is now doing in preparing for spring break. But we'd love to hear from you if you live in Miami Beach, as you, you know, are getting ready for these sort of events, the traffic, the crowds, and so forth. I mean, how do you prepare? What do you think about, you know, how they're handled? And again, you live in a city, everybody wants to come visit. So, I mean, maybe you're just used to it, you expect it. Give us a call, 800-743-9576. So if you have a question for the chief, now's a good time, 800-743-9576. Spring break. We still got some time before spring break comes, but tell us about this past spring break, I guess, which was this year. But
okay, well, I've been here for 4 spring breaks. I've been the chief for 4 years. And each one, our crowds have gotten bigger. And the challenges are around managing young people who are here to party. And typically, if they come here, they're here for a couple of days. And we were all once of that age, that, you know, 18 to 22, 23 years old. And we all know some of the excesses that people of that age can engage in.
Long time ago.
And each year, it's gotten a little bit more challenging. And last year, it was quite a bit of public policy discussion after the weekend that included a Saturday night that was St. Patrick's Day. And between the kind of, I guess, partying and celebrating that goes on associated with that holiday, and the fact that it was the absolute height. It was the weekend when the most students in the east side of the United States were off on spring break. We had a real crowd control issue, and we had the cops were outnumbered. There were so many people on the beach, in Lummis Park, on Ocean Drive, and the spillback of traffic onto Collins Avenue, Washington Avenue, everything, because we closed Ocean Drive because of the crowds, was such that the city sort of, I forget around what time it was, around 9 o'clock or so, just turned into total gridlock.
And then you did, the city decided at that point to close the MacArthur for at least an hour.
Right. The deputy chief, Rick Clemens, and I were out there on 8th and Ocean, and the reports that were coming in on the radio, we said we have to stop bringing additional cars into the city for a period of time. And so we did that. It was about an hour and 15 minutes.
Did that help?
It helped tremendously because we dedicated a bunch of officers to clear out all the log jams. It was absolute gridlock all along Collins Avenue, Fifth Street, et cetera. And that's a public safety issue. If ambulances can't get through, if fire trucks can't get through, that affects everyone, not the visitors, the residents. And we had to clear that condition. And by holding traffic inbound on the MacArthur for about an hour and 15 minutes, we were able to do that.
And as you said, though, I mean, you had this coming together of spring break and St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
But what do you foresee? Because as you said, every year the crowds get bigger. What do you foresee in 2019?
Well, we all recognized, and there was a lot of public policy discussion with the city commission afterwards, that we can't have that happen again this year, or we have to try our very best. And the real solution is we need more cops out there. We need more cops than we had available to us. So we had different sort of options for deployment to control crowds, control traffic. And so the major step that the commission took this year is they gave me several hundred thousand dollars more of a special event overtime so that I can put more cops out there for the two critical weekends at the height of spring break. And this year we're projecting that's going to be St. Patrick's Day weekend. I think St. Patty's Day is a Sunday this year. And the following weekend. That's when most of the colleges are out and we're likely to have the largest crowd.
Now, before I ask you about, because you've reached out to universities and colleges before the spring break comes and you have a plan, a message you want to get out to students. But before I get to that, I wanted to know, as you said, you were outnumbered. What exactly can you do? In you know, when you have that kind of crowd, can you really arrest anybody? Can you really do much? Are you just basically trying to control crowds?
Yes. There's a point at which when the crowds are overwhelming, that the number one priority for the cops is always safety. And we might have to tolerate some low-level misconduct, like drinking in public or smoking marijuana, those kinds of things, because we can't risk provoking a crowd. I've been in this business 38 years. I've worked in major cities. And it's always a careful dance between enforcement and tolerance that keeps the larger crowd behaving properly. And it was we were in that mix that St. Paddy's Day night around 9-10 o'clock, and it was quite the challenge. So depending upon what your resources are and what the behavior is, you know, that determines how you deploy your people.
Again, the number 800-743-9576 if you have a question for Police Chief Daniel Oates. Or again, if you live on Miami Beach, let us know your thoughts when you have big events coming up, like Art Basel, really more like spring break. You know, what do you think about how it's handled? And what would you like to see if there was a way to do anything? So you had this plan. You've started. You have a plan. You're gonna, kind of spill out over the next few months. But you've already started by reaching out to universities. You've written a letter, basically telling them what.
We've written a letter to all the major colleges in Florida, in Georgia, and we've reached out to a number of other spots around the Southeast and the rest of the country, basically saying, obviously your students are welcome here for spring break, but there'll be a level of enforcement and an insistence on obeying our laws that you have not seen in the past. So please share the message with your students. Everyone's welcome. We'd love to have them. But if they come here, if they break the law, they're going to be arrested. And I literally say that in the letter.
And what does that mean exactly? Because it comes back to what you just said. It's like you have to do this dance to try to keep the crowd from, you know, getting out of hand. Now you're saying you can enforce more now.
Right. With more resources. For instance, drinking in public is
there's a lot of kids.
Violation. Is a violation of a city ordinance.
There are going to be so many people
urinating
who could break
in
that.
Public. In certain areas, playing music too loud from a car, those kinds of things, and anything worse than that. You know, among the things that happen when kids engage in reckless behavior and drink to excess, for example, is that they get victimized. And you know, it's not easy to imagine the kind of victimization that occurs. And so we're determined to do everything we can this year with the extra resources that we have to control behavior.
But, you know, let me play a little devil's advocate. I mean, it's a lot of people. You remember those years. I remember those years. You know, I mean, that's a lot of people that are probably going to be breaking those rules. I mean, I know I'm making an assumption, but come on. It's
right. So we're counting on, these college presidents to warn these students.
You're smiling while you say that, though.
To be prepared, okay, if you break the law, that you could be arrested in Miami Beach. And now, we're hoping that our messaging will reduce the crowd slightly, at least, that there'll be some reduction as a result of messaging alone.
Is that what you're hoping for? You're hoping more for crowd reduction or just that the crowd behaves?
I think, frankly, as the police chief, I think if a few less students coming from spring break would be good for us, and I don't think it particularly harm the economy if that's what occurs. But again, it's very clear the direction from city commission to me and the city manager after last year was this behavior has to be controlled better. We'll give you the resources to do it. Now go out and do it. So we're going to.
And I want to ask you a little bit more about what that plan is, because I mean, you sent the letters out to the schools hoping the presidents reach their students, but you have to do more than that, because you know a lot of these young people, it's on social media.
Right.
Again, the number 800-743-9576. Let me go to Eddie in Miami Beach. Eddie, thanks for waiting.
Yeah, hi. How you doing? Yeah. So I really appreciate what the police always do and the role that they play. But I'm kind of just always a little bit baffled as why the city always has to, I guess, approve these city infrastructures to be happening during these big events. Like, I understand why we need to go ahead and fix and raise our cities or raise our streets so we prevent flooding during hurricane season and all that stuff. But I live on the Venetian, and I feel like there's always something going on, trying to fix a traffic light, trying to fix Purdy Avenue, trying to fix something during these major events, causing a residence a huge nightmare in traffic. And I just don't understand why we don't have the foresight to maybe say, okay, have it scheduled and maybe finished by this time, or maybe stop during this major event and then continue afterwards.
All right. Construction's always, it's always happening. Eddie, thanks so much for the call. All right. So, I mean, I've been on the beach a couple of times, but I know that the convention center is now ready. That was a lot of construction in that area. But, I mean, do you foresee issues with construction and the traffic that's coming with Art Basel or any event?
Well, the big one coming for the city is the inbound MacArthur The bridge has to be repaired on the east end of the MacArthur, much the way the outbound lanes began to be repaired in August. So sometime after the first of the year, and for a significant period of time, perhaps 6 to 8 weeks, inbound MacArthur is going to go down to one lane at the bridge. And then it'll open to two lanes, and then it'll be two lanes, not three, one lane closed for several months because the bridge is being repaired in pieces while it continues to function as a bridge. So I don't think that work will be completely done by spring break. So there will be a challenge around spring break time. There will only be two lanes inbound on the MacArthur instead of three.
And Eddie, I almost think that I wonder, you know, maybe it's just bringing a city leader in also to ask them, you know, those kind of decisions. Do you have the power at any point? Because we come back to this past spring break when you had to close down the MacArthur for that hour. Is it your choice, or how is that decision made? Who has that power?
Well, if there's a legitimate issue of public safety, the police have the authority to close the streets at any time. So it was that kind of situation on St. Patrick's Day last year that we did that. As I said, it was for about an hour and 15 minutes on a Saturday night.
All right. I wanted to, we can keep taking questions, by the way, when it comes to, you know, spring break or Art Basel or, again, any big event or holiday, how traffic is handled and crowds are handled. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We'll take some more calls here in a minute. I wanted to switch over real quickly because we were talking about another big issue, which is the body cameras. And your department was first in South Florida to implement body cameras.
We were among the first. I'm not sure. We might have been the first in Miami-Dade.
So, okay. Yeah. All right. Everybody now has one. Everybody on the force has one. But you're going through, you know, you're part of a study.
Yes. We're in year three of a Department of Justice-funded study into the impact of body cameras on American policing. We have a world-class researcher working with us from Cambridge University. He's one of the leading experts in body camera deployment around the world. And we're doing a study of impact on all elements of the criminal justice system, including the behavior of cops, the behavior of citizens we interact with, how body cameras affect prosecutions and prosecutorial decisions, lawsuits, any number of things. It's a very comprehensive study. We actually are extending it another 6 months or so, and we hope to have a report by late 2019.
You even have one.
Yes, every cop in Miami Beach now has a body camera. That was the case by May of last year. Our rollout was very strategic, but we finally gave a camera to every cop by May of this past year.
So after 3 years now, I mean, how have you seen things change, or have things changed? How's the interaction between officers and the public?
I mean, we could talk for hours about this. I think body cameras are fundamentally changing American policing.
For better or worse?
In the end, for better. And one of the things, you know, when I came here 4 years ago, I came here with a mandate to put body cameras on cops. That was one of the things I was asked to do as a new chief, and I had some experience doing that in my last job in Colorado. 4 years ago, if you asked any cop in Miami Beach or any cop in America, do you want to wear a body camera, overwhelmingly the response would have been in the high 90 percentile, no, okay? Today, if you ask that question, I think you'll get a very, very different answer. Today, cops on the street who are involved in any kind of controversy know that there are 5, 6, 7 cameras pointed at them, capturing what they do. And what better view to have, in addition to those views, is the view of what the officer is seeing and hearing, because our cameras are very, very high quality. They capture sound and they capture images in an excellent way. And I think the view has changed. I think today if I went to the cops in Miami Beach and said, we're going to take the cameras away, there would be quite a few cops who would oppose that.
What can you say about what you've seen change in the way officers are behaving? I'll ask about, you know, people they may be ticketing or arresting, but what about for officers?
Well, you know, it's funny. We had a training session this morning where I was going over the rules. We have what we call quarterly mandated training, and typically it's a group of anywhere from 15 to 30 officers in a room. And I've been stopping by this quarter to talk about reminding everybody about the rules in body cameras. And we had an interesting philosophical discussion this morning with the cops. And one of them was saying, well, officers are less likely to say and do certain things now that they know they're on film. So my response was, okay, what are the things that they were saying or doing that they no longer do? And what is the reason why they're afraid to do that on a camera? And perhaps that speaks to exactly why the public policy decisions have been made, not just in Miami Beach, but across America. In a sense, you're acknowledging, officer, that your behavior has changed. And is that a bad thing? I submit that maybe it's not a bad thing. But across the country and in Miami Beach, complaints against cops are down, and behavior is changing. And my big worry with body cameras is the expectation that in a controversial incident, the video and audio on a camera worn by an officer is going to answer the question, the big question of what happened.
And here's the other thing. Let's say you have, like, for example, an officer-involved shooting.
Right.
What's the policy when it comes to releasing that information? Or how do you, you know, with the video, I should say, the video and the audio, what happens to it?
Well, the short answer is it depends. Almost certainly, the state attorney probably is going to be opposed to release of evidence in advance of a final decision by the state attorney whether or not the cop is going to be prosecuted. But the individual police chief whose reputation of his agency, his or her agency, is on the line and wants to appear to be transparent, because transparency is what the community demands, may have a different view as to that release. I thankfully have not had to face that problem, but I have many, many colleagues around the country who have, and police chiefs across America are leaning towards release of controversial video as soon as possible, in the interest of transparency. But my point is, the fact that there is a video doesn't mean it answers the question as to what happened or whether or not the use of force was justified, because we've all seen now how incoherent and confusing these videos are. It's not like Hollywood TV where the director scripts the shot, scripts the audio, so there's perfect imaging of a shooting. It's the chaos of real life as captured by a camera that happens to be in a position that is not controlled once, you know, it's just there. And the body cameras and video do not answer all the totality of questions that are asked about controversial incidents.
And we talked about, you know, how officers' behaviors have changed. But I was just thinking about, you know, how people's behaviors may change. But we also live in a world where everybody's got a camera.
Right.
Everybody's a director, and everybody's always constantly filming themselves or other people doing something.
Right.
So have they changed in their behavior?
Cops will tell you, okay, that people behave better now when they know they're on film. And cops will use that in intense situations. Do you realize you're being filmed?
And
do
you
realize
have to tell them.
They will tell them, do you realize the behavior you're engaging in doesn't reflect well on you? Let's try and find a solution to this controversy that's going on right now. And cops tell me that that's the case. And there's studies and sort of anecdotal evidence that that is the case. And that's one of the elements we are studying now and be part of our final report is, can we show that that's the case here in Miami Beach?
And you know, because I come back to this idea that, you know, don't people just assume already that they're being filmed, that everybody's just being filmed?
It's less than clear. I would say 18 months ago, no, people did not assume that. But there's a real fast education of the public going on now, and people notice and people actually expect that stuff's on film now.
And you told me the complaints, not so much that complaints are going down, but if you challenge people and say, well, let's come watch the video, then the complaints go away.
Almost all the time now, if we get a complaint, we can go right to the video. And it's amazing how much the video affirms, which what I know in all the departments I've worked in, nearly all the time, cops do the right thing.
When does that study end, by the way? When will
Our study will probably be released sometime in late 2019.
All right. It ends February of 2019.
The data collection portion, yes, ends in February.
Interesting. We'll have you back to talk about what that data showed, definitely. Again, talking with Miami Beach Police Chief Daniel Oates, we've talked about Art Basel, which is coming up, spring break, how they're going to deal with that, body cameras, and so much more. By the way, find us on Facebook or Twitter, WLRN Sundial, and you can post any of your comments about our segment today. Chief Oates, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Louis, thank you. Good to be here.
All right. By the way, don't forget that we're talking with author Silas House about his book, Southernmost, the November title for the Sundial Book Club. That's coming up on Wednesday. If you have a question for the author, go to our Facebook group, ask to join if you're not part of it, and share your questions, because we're going to read some of them to the author. Still to come, some folks are still struggling after Irma. We're going to learn about a program that might help. That's next on Sundial.